Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the stormy seas as we pick up in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now notice this, and I think this is important to know. It had been an extremely hard day. Jesus had received the news of the horrible atrocity. His cousin, John, had been beheaded by Herod. And he felt it sort of imperative to just get alone for a while. So he got into the ship with the disciples and they headed over to the other side. But the people, seeing the direction where they were going, ran around the upper part of the Galilee and met him when the ship landed. And here was the multitude. And Jesus spent the day ministering to them. He's weary emotionally because of what had happened to John. No doubt wearied physically by ministering to these people, being pressed by them all the day long, up until the evening. He feeds them, and then he sends them away as the disciples are heading back. Hard day, troubling news, physically exhausted, time to really flake out. But instead, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Oh, the importance that prayer had in the life of Jesus. Now, if he, being the Son of God, felt the necessity to be strengthened through prayer on these kind of occasions, how much more we weak, failing disciples or followers of him need to spend time in prayer to be strengthened by God. We would say, oh, it's time to really get a rest, you know. I really need to get a nap. I really need to get my strength. But instead, he went up and spent the evening, the night in prayer, according to another gospel. But prayer was his place of strength. He discovered it to be a place of great strength, even as you can discover that prayer is a place of great strength indeed. And so when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and it was tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Coming from the side of Gadara, back across the sea, there is that valley that comes into the Sea of Galilee from the Mediterranean, where when they get these storms, it usually blows in through that Kinnereth Valley. And so in coming back, you're coming against that wind that comes howling through that valley. And so the disciples were faced with this dismal prospect of trying to row against the wind and against the flow of the wind-whipped waves because of they were heading back towards the area of Capernaum. And so they were in the midst of the sea, and they were being tossed with the waves, for the wind was coming from that direction of the Mediterranean. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. That is almost morning. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And impulsive Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Oh, Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Amazing story, isn't it? How that Peter was able for a time to walk on the water. And it would appear that he could walk on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But suddenly maybe a wave crashed, splashed in his face, and he looked around and, oh, what am I doing out here, you know? And he started to sing, Lord, save me. And Jesus, I can hear Jesus chuckle as he said, oh, you of little faith, what happened to you? You know, you started well. What happened to you, Peter? Oh, ye of little faith. I think that the lesson is keeping our eyes upon the Lord. I think that is so important for us. It is so easy for us to get our eyes on our circumstances. And we start looking around at the boisterous waves. We start looking at our problems. We start looking at our situations, and we begin to sink. Because every one of us are faced with daily situations that can really sink us if we really get into it. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, who is the master over the sea, over the waves, over the winds. And looking at Jesus, he was able to walk for a ways on the water. Getting his eyes off of Jesus and on the waves, he began to sink. And as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on the water, so to speak. Now, to me, it's great that when Peter started to sink, he knew where to call. Lord, save me. I've been in the same boat. Man, how many times I've cried, oh, Lord, save me, you know. And the graciousness of Jesus. Oh, thou of little faith. Why did you doubt, Peter? You're doing all right. And when they had come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They just had seen such a tremendous demonstration of his divine powers. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And Gennesaret is there that it is Kinnereth or Gennesaret, it's the name of that valley coming from the area of the Mediterranean, Aqua area. And they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, Jesus did not have some kind of magic garment that if you touch it, you would be healed. The healing took place in each case because of the faith of that person. And the touching of his garment was the point for them to release their faith. There is sort of a passive kind of faith, if such a thing can exist. A believing that God can do it. Knowing that God can do it. Being fully persuaded and assured that God can do it. And I think that we all probably fit in that category who believe in God. We know that God can do anything. And I'm faced with some malady or whatever, and someone says, well, God can heal you. Yes, I know that is true. I don't doubt that. I go to the hospital and I see these people in critical condition. The doctors have given them up. And I say, well, God can heal you. And I believe that. I believe God can do anything. But there is something to activating that faith, to where it is not, I believe that God can heal you, but that I believe that God will heal you now. That moment when faith is activated to receive that touch or healing from God. And I think that this touching of the hem of his garment created a point of contact for those people to release their faith. In other words, in their minds, they were saying, I know that the moment I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And that was so in their minds that the moment they were able to grab the hem of his garment, they released the faith, and it was no longer just a passive, I know God can, but I know that God is. And in that moment, released their faith to take then, at that moment, their healing. And the moment they activated or released the faith, they were healed. There were many things in the New Testament that formed points of contact for the releasing of faith. And Jesus actually established more or less points of contact on various occasions. When he put mud in the blind man's eyes and said, now go and wash out the mud. And as soon as you wash it out, you can see. The man believed that the minute I can wash this mud out, I'm going to see. And it was a point of contact for the releasing of his faith. In the Old Testament, when the prophet Elisha told Naaman to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times, when you come up from the 7th time, you're going to be healed. It was a point of contact for the releasing of faith. In the book of Acts, they sent out from Paul handkerchiefs, or more literally, sweatbands and his aprons, and they would lay them on the sick, and the people would be healed. Peter, when he was walking down the street, they would set the sick in the way so that his shadow would fall on them. And the shadow of Peter falling on them was a point of contact. People say, oh, I know as soon as Peter's shadow falls on me, oh, I'm going to be healed. And they had that point of releasing faith. And somehow we need to be able to release the faith, so it will become activated. So I know that as soon as, you know, it'll happen. And it's a point of contact to release the faith. And there is a valuable lesson there. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were from Jerusalem. Hey, these guys had come a long way to challenge him. They came all the way from Jerusalem, clear up to Galilee, which was about a journey of almost, well, over a week from Jerusalem to Galilee. So they came up to the Galilee and they said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Now, the Jews, of course, had the written law. But on top of the written law, they had developed the oral traditions. And these oral traditions many times actually superseded the law, as traditions have a way of becoming so embedded in our being that it's harder to break traditions than almost anything else. And Jesus was not one to conform to traditions. He was not in any wise a traditionalist. A Of course, they also had the Talmud, the several volumes of the amplification and explanation of the law. So in it, many, many traditions. So why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they don't wash their hands before they eat bread? Now, from this, don't immediately conclude that they're a bunch of dirty slobs. According to the tradition, there were many things that could make a person unclean, but this uncleanness was a ceremonial uncleanness, which if you were ceremonially unclean, you could not enter into the temple. And many things could make you ceremonially unclean. If you would touch anything that was unclean, you became unclean. Now, if you touched anything that was touched by something unclean, you became unclean. And to them, Gentiles were unclean. And if a Gentile walked across the dusty road, the dust that his foot touched would become unclean because he was an unclean Gentile. And thus, if you walked in the same dust, you became unclean because you touched the unclean dust that was made unclean by a Gentile who walked over it. There were certain foods that if you ate them would make you unclean. And so this business of washing became quite a tradition. And there were certain ways by which you had to wash in order that you might ensure that you were cleansed from all of the dust or impurities or the unclean things that you might have come in contact with. And you had to do this before you touched your food, else your food would be unclean, and when you ate it, you would become unclean because you were eating unclean food. So they had the traditional ceremony for washing. And you would have to hold out your hands in an upright manner, and they would pour water over your hands as you rubbed your hands back and forth, up and down. And the water had to drip off of the wrist because the water is now unclean because it's touching whatever was unclean on your hands. And you've got to make sure the water doesn't fall on you. So you hold it out and up so that the water drips off your wrist and doesn't hopefully run up your arm, or that portion of your arm would be unclean. Having then poured the water over and washing your hands in this upright manner, then, because the dirty water from your unclean fingers has come down over your hands, you've got to get rid of that. So you put your hands down next, and they pour water over the top of your hands as you are rubbing your hands in a downward manner. And then finally, rubbing your fingers together as water is poured over to get rid of all of the uncleanness. And here were the disciples just, you know, grabbing the bread and eating it without going through this whole little ritual. And this is what Jesus was being challenged on. Your disciples aren't following the traditions. There's nothing in the Bible says that you got to wash your hands a particular way. And at this point, Jesus is about ready to blow tradition totally out the window. So his disciples were accused of transgressing the traditions, not going through the ceremonial washing of their hands before they eat their bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress, not the traditions, notice, but you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Oh, ho, ho, watch out now. Because Even within the church, it is possible for us to develop certain traditions and to get hung up on traditions. And it is also possible that many of the traditions within the church are actually a violation of the commandment of God. There was a lady who came to church here at Calvary Chapel, invited by some of her friends, and she was visiting here from Missouri. And she happened to belong to the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. And after service, she came up to me and she was shaking. She was so angry. She said, "Why didn't you face the altar when you prayed?" And I mean, she was really upset. And I said, "What?" She said, "When you prayed, you didn't turn and face the altar. Why didn't you?" I said, "Well, I guess because I don't think Jesus lives in the altar." But the traditions, you see. Why didn't you turn towards the statue of Jesus when you prayed? But by traditions, there is the violation of the commandment of God that says we're not to have any images.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 14 through 15 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ. And may you experience God's hand upon your life as He trains, as He teaches, as He develops His work of love and grace within your life, as He prepares you for the future and for those things that He wants you to possess of His grace and of His glory. May the Lord strengthen you and cause your life to be a witness for Him. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Children love stories, so it is with great honor to tell you about a children's book written by Pastor Chuck called The Story of the Ten Commandments. Just listen to what people are saying. Cheryl Broderson.
I love these stories, and it's a pleasure for me to know that you get to hear my dad tell you the very same stories that he told me as a child.
Pastor David Guzik.
I think that a book by Pastor Chuck is perfect for children because they'll sense the true love of not just a father, but a great grandfather, and how much he loves to pass on the love of Jesus to a young generation.
Pastor Pancho Juarez.
I am so blessed to be part of this book by Pastor Chuck. I love it when kids read in their own level. I hope parents take advantage of this, and may the Lord bless you.
And as a gift, each book contains a CD of Pastor Chuck reading the story of the Ten Commandments. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or to see a sneak preview of the book, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.